And welcome to the 50th episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Wow, 50 episodes. That's quite an accomplishment.
And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So my name is Drew Ogrizek.
And I'm Alex Moxon. Hi.
Hi. All right. How was your week, Alex?
My week was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Really busy week again, but that's a good thing.
Nice. Yeah. What's keeping you busy? I actually saw you during the week at our office.
Yes.
That might have been one of the things that was keeping you busy.
Yeah. At AdaptTech, we're getting a lot busier. So we had a client meeting there and another one earlier on Granville Island. So yeah, we've been doing lots of event storming exercises, which has been really great. I think it's starting to get some traction in the Vancouver tech community, which is great. So
yeah, I think some interesting things like the CQRS, event storming, DDD, things like that, I think are really cool. Something that kind of resonates with me is Adam, for example. He comes up with all these really interesting, some people call it crazy, ideas, but I really respect his ideas and I really like him. And I kind of look up to him as a mentor and things like that. But I do remember when we were working together at Active State, our CTO, Jeff Hobbs, I think kind of made mention of him not agreeing with the whole CQRS idea. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting, because that's another person that I really respected his opinion. He definitely showed like very deep technical understanding of what we were working on. He was also, I think, the lead developer of a programming language called Tickle, which was really interesting. Although, you know, acting as CTO, he wasn't coding very much. He still definitely knew his stuff. And I thought that was really interesting to have these differences of opinions. But at the time, like this is a couple of years ago, really not even understanding why one would have an opinion toward or against this. And I think it's kind of neat. Like the more that we get involved with things, the more our opinions change. And here's a little anecdote from my past, and I'll let you maybe comment on this and tell me what you think. So I kind of grew up with the idea, I think probably watching a lot of TV, as a lot of people did. Mm-hmm. And so I grew up with all these ideas of reasonable assumptions, I think, of how things are or should be. You know, if you're a nice person, you'll go far in life type idea. And one year I had the misfortune or privilege, I'm not sure, of spending a year in car sales.
Oh, wow.
It was a really interesting thing. And, you know, I thought if I show up early, I worked in a place that I think was amazing as far as of all the places I've ever worked. I think the best onboarding, the best like continuous education thing. Mm-hmm. We'd meet every morning at 8:30 and we'd have a half hour morning meeting. We'd talk about numbers. Everything was written down. Anytime you'd talk to someone that would go into a book, you'd see how far along the process you went. We'd role play. We had excellent managers. It was just really, really well run, I thought. And so that was kind of fun, like the psychology, I guess, behind sales and actually like the numbers behind it. But anyway, you know, I had the best numbers as far as customer trust, getting people to get in the car and go for a test drive with me. I had the highest numbers. So I was in, you know, 87% was my average for test drives for people I talked to.
Hey, that's
awesome.
This
is including, you know, passersby on the street, like anybody that you come in contact with, you have to log. And so that should equate to a certain percentage of sales, which it didn't in my case. And I wasn't the best salesperson. But the best salesperson that I found, of course, anecdotally, but in a year's experience, the best salespeople I found were the people who didn't care, didn't necessarily know much about cars, were extremely pushy and just got people to buy.
Really?
And I thought, wow, that goes against a lot of these reasonable assumptions that I've made throughout life and maybe been told and learned from watching hours and hours of television that, you know, if you're nice, if you spend time with people, if you care, then you'll go really, really far. Yeah. So coming back to that, sometimes I wonder, you know, when we talk about a lot of practices, quote unquote, best practices when it comes to software architecture or computing, that these are very reasonable things. Theoretically, this sounds like a great thing, or the idea of separating, for example, your reads from your writes sounds like, wow, that must be a really great idea. And maybe it doesn't, maybe it does, I don't know. But in reality, doesn't necessarily play out that way. And I think these are things as, you know, as software engineers, and that's even like, are we engineers if we're developing software?
That's a constant debate, yes.
Yeah. Aren't these testable things? Can't we get some numbers? Can't we say, hey, if we have this, this is what this really means?
Well, I can tell you as far as CQRS goes and event storming, one of the things that event storming does is it illustrates the scope of a project. Mm-hmm. Get the whole scope, the whole problem that you're solving up on paper. Everybody can see it. Everybody can understand what needs to be built. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we do with CQRS is we're able to stand up a technical solution really quickly. So it's almost like an early prototype using agile terms. So we've got about, I think one of the first clients we worked with, we stood up a technical solution in 3 days and completely blew their minds.
Now, is that assuming a greenfield project?
No, that was in addition to an already existing customer. So there was some previous technical knowledge there.
So that definitely sounds pretty cool. So that's, again, in relation to event storming, for mm-hmm. example, but just in general, what are your thoughts on that? Like I often hear things, or people have, you know, interesting anecdotes, or they have, you know, well-reasoned arguments, and things sound very reasonable, but I'm often now very skeptical of reasonable sounding solutions, thinking, why don't we test it? You know, it sounds like something that would work, but that doesn't mean that it will, because I think we've been, or me personally, mm-hmm. have been quite brainwashed by television to kind of believe that, you know, given certain conditions, certain things will happen. And I think oftentimes that just doesn't seem to pan out in reality.
That's an interesting point. It sounds like you've become a senior developer learning to question.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's the mark of becoming a senior developer.
Possibly. Yeah. And interestingly, I was talking with Robert Reffel, mm-hmm. Who I guess you work with, who is definitely a senior architect and has some really great ideas. And we went for lunch yesterday with him and with Nick. And I really like tempering some of my ideas against someone with a lot more experience and hearing things like, no, you definitely don't want to rewrite a system because that's probably going to be the worst thing to do. And just kind of reinforcing those things. But we got to talking about, I think, something very interesting. I think it's no secret that he's quite active in the tech community, mm-hmm. obviously presenting a lot at the DDD CQRS ES practitioners meetup. And we're going to have him give a talk for the opening event of the Vancouver Tech Meetup, which is happening November 14th.
Awesome.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the coming weeks.
Sounds good.
Yeah. But we got to talking and we're like, you know what? I've kind of had this idea and I've broken it down into into an MVP that's quite doable. I've been talking to some people. And what if we do something like an event storming session and start building it out? But what if we open this up to the community and we make maybe another meetup that's building out a company? And so people contribute to it. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, so some difficult problems that we're gonna have to solve with this are, what do you consider contribution? And then when you do contribute, what do you get from it? Do you get shares in the company? How does that work? What happens if we bought out later? Or, you know, if we don't succeed at anything, do we still need to establish all of these rules? Mm-hmm. So there's some things to consider with it, but I think it gives us a longer going project to start out with event storming, but then to actually build along the way, go through some of the difficulties of requirements changing. And then how do you, you know, whether you're refactoring your code or coming up with new requirements, bringing things out into testing in the real world, get it actually used somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so that might be an ongoing project for several months, but we're going to have to put some work into that. But if anybody is interested in helping to establish what those rules should look like, maybe who and how decisions should be made. It's not exactly necessarily open source. It might be closed source or some sort of licensed source code, but maybe a visible source, but more of like an open sourced community company almost.
I really like that idea. Yeah. It really pushes forward the idea of community.
Right.
And that's something that's really important.
It is, yeah.
So I think that's awesome.
So we'll see how it actually works, right? So this is something that maybe it sounds reasonable.
It sounds a little bit like a social experiment, too.
Yeah, kind of. But I think it's quite interesting when you give people an open door, they might just ignore it. I think the whole, maybe the idea of having a, I don't know, I think actually the elephants, you often see like a fully grown elephant, you know, tied to a little fence with a small rope, mm-hmm. because they got conditioned as baby elephants to believe that they're not going to be able to break the chain.
Right.
And so we often get conditioned, I think, to think that if something is open or easy to become involved in, it's not worth it.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, we've been kind of conditioned that, you know, work hard, play hard, be rewarded. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you bring up a really valid point about an open source community project. I think that's really a fun idea, and I hope we have some interest in that.
Yeah, I think as long as we have a couple of people that are kickstarting it that do continue with it, I think we'll have some success with it. Whatever success looks like, it's not necessarily ever make money from it, but at least have a fun project that we can work on together.
For sure.
And yeah, so that should be fun. Well, I guess it's time for meetups
around town.
All right. So we have a pretty big week coming up this week. It is Halloween, but we still have stuff happening. So we're starting out on Monday with the Get Help in Zero Tech. Now, this is over at Decontrol from 4 to 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And are you going to be there, Alex?
I won't. I'll be out of town for a few days.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Yeah, I'd like to go out of town, but I don't know when or where.
With all of your free time, right?
Yes, absolutely. All right. And then we also have, maybe I should mention, if you're planning on going to the Get Help and Zero Tech meetup, make sure to bring a laptop or maybe be ready to pair up with somebody else on maybe some Git problems or some Zero Tech problems. Now, Zero Tech, I think this is something you touched upon earlier when you said, you know, we're able to do rapid prototyping. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes with Zero Tech, it doesn't assume certain tools in your chain when you're starting. So you don't start with a project and say, okay, we're using Angular, we're using this. You say, okay, what are the problems? How are we going to solve it? And you push the decision-making of, you know, what sort of dependencies you want to pull into your project to the latest possible responsible moment.
Yes, which I think is a really great idea.
Mm-hmm. I think so too, because then you're not married to Postgres, for example, and then all your data has to be relational, for example, or, you know, when you don't even have data. Right?
Well, exactly. And focus on solving the problem, not just creating a cool technical solution that maybe doesn't address the problem fully.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's pretty cool. I hear a lot of interesting and different definitions of Zero Tech, but I hear somebody locally might be even starting to write a book on it. I'm looking forward to that.
You bet. Our CTO and founder, Adam, is going to be writing a book on Zero Tech.
Nice.
So look for that later this year or early next.
Or sometime in the next coming decade. Or maybe pretty soon. Actually, he's a pretty good writer when he does write.
He is, yes.
All right. So then we also have this one, again, at the Vancouver Hackspace. We mentioned it past couple of times. It is definitely fully subscribed this time. You might reach out to the organizers and say, hey, I've got some experience with Python. Can I catch up? But maybe not. So this is a intro to, I guess, to software with Python, Vancouver Hackspace. It was a 10-part course or a 10-class course. And it looks like there are a few of the classes into it. So maybe if they do this again next time, you can get on board if you're interested. But it looks like this one will be ending January 9th. And any changes to the schedule will be communicated in advance. Seems really cool. Like, I'm surprised we don't see more sort of, you know, 10 course series or things like that, because I think that would be really fun. I think one of the things that Code Core, one of the local boot camps, was the first to do, I believe, was offer a part-time introduction to software development. And now they've had, so it was like a full day on Saturday, pretty intense day, which was kind of reflective of what a boot camp would be like. And then you had a couple hours on Wednesdays, and this was, over 4 weeks, you'd get 8 classes, and this would intro you, kind of prepare people. Maybe they're working, you know, full time somewhere else, and they're thinking, should I take the boot camp? Should I not? Am I ready? Am I not? So this would be maybe it would serve as a primer or a get your feet wet. And I thought that was really cool, but I'm just surprised we don't see more of it.
Yeah, it'd be really great if there are organizations out there that would be interested in doing this. Definitely reach out to us, and we'll make sure that we've got mention of that in the schedule.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then we've got, so this is my plans for Halloween. And I had someone said, you know, is it a bad idea to have HackerNest on Halloween? And I thought, I couldn't think of somewhere I'd rather be. but I can definitely imagine, you know, a lot of people probably have kids or families or other sort of obligations. And so they're going to be, you know, with their kids or with their families or going trick-or-treating or their other Halloween parties. But what about for those of us who don't and who are in tech and who want to enjoy it with the tech community? I think this is just going to be awesome.
I think it's great. Are you expecting costumes?
So this is an interesting thing. Of course, costumes are optional. It's not a requirement. It can be quite a lot of work to put a costume together, and some people might be embarrassed by it. But for those who do have costumes, there definitely will be some prizes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's happening at Skew Music, 390 Canby Street, from 8 p.m. Now, if you've never been to HackerNest before and you're in tech, you should definitely consider coming out. I think it's a really welcoming environment. So I didn't start out as an organizer. This was my favorite meetup for a long time. And then the people who started it in Vancouver got really busy with family commitments. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually live over on Bowen Island. So they'd come over just for the event or maybe some other work stuff. And they got really busy and they decided, you know, they didn't have time to do it anymore. And they didn't have a HackerNest for a couple of months and people were getting concerned. And, you know, some of us stepped up to help organize. And so that's been the past couple of years now that I've been doing it. But I love it. It's a great welcoming environment. We get a couple of hundred people, you know, somewhere between 100 and 200 mm-hmm. in and around tech. And we usually have really good talks. It's a great place to meet people. And I kind of think of it as kind of like, you know, when you're in high school and you kind of know everyone in your community because you're going through similar phases in life or whatever. And you have your friends that maybe you hang out with all the time outside of school, and that might be a much smaller group. But at school, you have a lot of people that you associate with, maybe have lunch together. And if you saw people at a party, you know, maybe somebody had a party once a month or a couple times a year, and you go there and you see all these people from your school, and you know, it's that kind of community feel.
Very cool.
That's it for Monday. So Tuesday the 1st, that's November 1st. What do we have happening then?
So we have the Polyglot Social at the St. Regis, which is downstairs. It's a really good group. There's usually about 30 to 40 people there. Mm-hmm. You can have more conversation than you can at HackerNest, but it still has that social vibe. So I've been to this a few times, made some really great connections there. And it's also about fostering community and moving things forward.
The first time I met Chris Nicola mm-hmm. from Wealth Bar, Adam introduced me to him at Polyglot Social. Mm-hmm. And I think he was the last one, or the three of us were the last ones there when we arrived. And it was really nice. I was the first and only Polyglot Social I've been to, but definitely seems like a great group.
Yeah, it starts a little bit early. It starts at 6, but it goes till usually around 9 or 9:30.
Mm-hmm. I think we were a little later when we arrived.
So. Yep, okay.
Okay, and then we've got one of the meetups this week on Vancouver Pixel Crafters. It's Camp Tech. So this is Social Media Advanced. This is happening over at High Vancouver, number 210, 128 West Hastings. Would you bring a laptop to this?
I think that's probably a good idea. Why not?
Well, sure. Yeah, I I guess I should have said, is it required? I tend to bring a laptop to anything I go to, even HackerNest, which you don't need mm-hmm. at all. But if you want to take notes, that's probably great. But there's maybe no, it's not necessary. This is an $85 class, it looks like. And it's for graduates of Camp Tech's social media basics class or those who've already started on social media. So maybe check that out if you're interested in Social Media Advanced. What kind of stuff do you think they might go over here? I guess it shows.
Very good question. I mean, everything related to social media. So I would think metrics, what else?
Metrics, what else? Yeah. So yeah, it says here, included in the workshop, here's a point list. It says high quality instruction by a social media specialist, small class size, a digital reference guide, complimentary coffee and tea, a digital social media reference guide. Did I say that twice? The yep. digital reference guide and a digital social media reference guide. So maybe two, maybe one, I'm not sure. A goodie bag full of fun Camp Tech swag, a chance for you to network with other business owners and marketing professionals, and official recognition for your participation that you can share on LinkedIn or your resume. So it does have a note here. I really like seeing this stuff on meetups. Note, laptop computers aren't absolutely necessary for your work for this workshop, but you're welcome to bring one if you'd like to follow along.
Smart.
All right. And then we've got Vancouver Closure. So this is happening over at Code Core, 142 West Hastings from 6 to 9. Definitely bring a laptop to that and be ready to hack on some Closure stuff. And then we've got this other one that looks really cool. So this is posted, cross-posted through a bunch of meetups. And it's actually normally a Vancouver meetup, but this time it's happening in Burnaby. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of giving special mention to it. But what is it?
So it is the
Public Cloud User Group.
Yes. Focused on
cloud robotics
and the Internet of Things or IoT.
Yeah. Awesome. So that's a really cool theme. It is lower level of the new Habitat Pub on BCIT campus, Burnaby. So that's an interesting choice to have it at. But I think it is a well-attended, it's very, very well-presented meetup. Probably worth making the trek if you're not from Burnaby to go and check it out. But so yeah, look at the agenda. So recap on the cloud, mm-hmm. which is always great. I love that. A demonstration will be made involving Amazon AWS, a robotic arm, Raspberry Pi kit, motion sensors, an explanation of everything you're seeing both local and in the cloud, and then lightning talks. So let them know if you want the floor for 3 minutes. So I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but I remember for the first few events, at least, they were recording this and putting it up on Matt's Coffee Cloud.
Oh, very cool.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes below.
Sure.
If it's still relevant. And then you could, whether you actually attend in person or not, you could still see the event.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And then Red Academy is having a meetup at 6 p.m. Well, I don't know if it's a meetup per se, or rather a workshop. This is an intro to digital marketing from 6 p.m. And this is over at Red Academy, which, if you're not sure where it's at, it's just over on Broadway, right on Granville and Broadway there, above Blends or McDonald's in that building. And I think it's actually the whole two floors above that. So pretty much the whole building. It's pretty big.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a space I haven't been out to.
Yeah, I popped by there once before they opened officially.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely didn't have the whole place yet. And I haven't been since. But it seems really cool.
The next one coming up is an intimate talk with machine learning leaders. This sounds pretty interesting. It's on Tuesday the 1st,
mm-hmm.
6 to 9 at Science World. There is a price, $55 per person, but it sounds like a really cool, fun talk.
Yeah, so this is posted on the Physics Geeks and Professionals Meetup for Vancouver. And it does look really neat if you're interested in machine learning. So it says the following machine learning companies will present: Kindred AI, OneQubit. Is that OneQubit? I guess so, yeah.
I think so.
Bernie AI, Finn.ai, and CopyPants. So a lot of .ai in the machine learning. That's kind of cool.
Yep, which makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Does it? What is that? What is AI actually?
Well, good question. I mean, it's artificial intelligence, which you would think with machine learning, there's a nice pairing there. I don't know. I guess in the next few years, we'll see how those fields split. But for the time being, I think that they're best viewed together. Don't shoot the messenger, but that's my viewpoint.
Sure. Yeah. No, I guess I was just wondering, what is the .ai? What is that actually? So it actually is, I believe, Anguilla. Yeah, it's the internet country code top level domain for Anguilla.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just like, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, usually things like .io, for example, are not for input output. It's India Ocean. Right? So I didn't know this, but this is Anguilla is a British overseas territory in the Caribbean. So now you know.
Cool.
And I'm pretty sure that these companies are not located there. They're just in artificial intelligence. So.
Awesome. Next one coming up is Vancouver Hackspace. So it's a weekly open house. Everyone's welcome. This is the one on Cook Street.
So yeah. Where is Cook Street?
I believe that's Granville Island.
Oh,
it says we're located in Olympic Village, 3-minute walk from the Olympic Village SkyTrain station, or a 10-minute walk from the Main Street Science World SkyTrain station. So
it doesn't seem like Granville Island to me.
A little bit east of Granville Island, so mm-hmm. False Creek.
That sounds pretty cool. So Cook Street over by Olympic Village. Nice.
Yeah.
3-minute walk from the station. Sounds good.
Very centrally located.
And that's happening at 7:30 on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So next up, we've got Wednesday. So we've got another Vancouver Pixel Crafters, a lunch and learn corporate culture for dummies. What's this all about? This is over at Launch Academy, 300 128 West Hastings, mm-hmm. from 12 to 1. So it looks like it is a lunch and learn, as it says.
Yeah, it's something I originally signed up for. If I wasn't going to be out of town, I would definitely be at this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is really interesting. It's got some great panel speakers.
Mm-hmm.
People from we've got Lululemon Athletica's CEO and educator, Daryl Kopke.
Mm-hmm.
We have Creative Destruction Lab West also is one of the sponsors or speakers. I can't quite tell from the meetup here, but they're really interesting. They're a lab out of Toronto, and they're going to be moving to Vancouver. And I think they'll be disrupting the tech scene in a really big way. Mm-hmm. So if you're at all interested in the startup scene, how to get your company off the ground, if you're not familiar with company structure and I guess corporate structure, this would be a good one to go to.
Okay, so what would the takeaway be there? Corporate structure and company structure?
Just really familiarizing yourself with, if you're a startup and you don't necessarily know from the business side where to start, this would mm-hmm. be a good primer for that.
Okay, cool. Then from 4:30 to 6:30, we've got the Vancouver Linux Desktop, also over at Decontrol, 436 West Pender. So make sure to bring a laptop or something to run Linux on.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks pretty cool. Now, I thought Adam mentioned combining some of the dates for the meetups, but I guess maybe he hasn't done so. I'm not sure. But this looks pretty cool. So I would attend with a laptop, and I'd feel comfortable even like with or without Linux, to be honest. But if you have maybe a Nixie sort of system, or even if you're running Windows, but you want to talk about Linux, maybe see if people can convince you to try it out or yep. not, it might be worth going. But it's a really fun meetup group, I think. And I've been to it. I think I went to one of the ones when Adam first started it back up again. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty fun.
Cool.
And then from 5:30 to 6:30, we also have the Plural Site Study Group. This one's awesome. Again, another awesome meetup that I haven't been to yet, but I really want to. So we had one of the organizers. So I'm just looking at the page, and it looks like Olga Draskovic, but that wasn't who we had on. It looks like this is an interim Plural Site Study Group organizer. So it looks like there might have been some change recently in the organization. But anyway, this should be an awesome one to attend.
Cool. Sounds good. Next up is YVR testing. So this is Agile Testing and Development, a case study. It's going to be at SOFO's head office, starting at 5:30.
Yeah, so this is over at 580 Granville, where SOFO's head office is. That's right across from the St. Regis.
Nice.
Yeah. This is also one of my favorite meetups as well. I really like their organization. I think they do a really good job, well presented. So this is Going Agile. It has a positive reputation of allowing teams to collaborate while allowing more room for flexibility, adaptability, and transparency throughout the product development process. However, this doesn't always mean that it results in a smoother and error-free software development and testing process. It sure doesn't. So this is going to be pretty cool. And the meetup presentation takes an insightful look into a real-world Agile project that went horribly wrong from the point of view of Bob Cook, Senior Product Development Manager at Sophos. So this should be pretty awesome. I'd really like to go out to this talk. Obviously, Sophos has some pretty interesting problems to be working on, and hearing about one of their projects that went horribly wrong would be pretty fun, I think, and it would put some perspective into some of the stuff that the rest of us are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Agile, retrospectives are one of the more important things because you're really learning. So when you finish a project, you typically schedule a retrospective. Sometimes if you're super busy, those things get pushed out. So you're really missing a valuable learning step. So often the best way to learn is through a project that goes horribly wrong because then you're better prepared next time.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. And so I think that's actually adding to that point is sometimes you can also learn a lot through other people's projects going horribly wrong without having to go through that yourself.
Exactly.
Although if you're anything like me, you're probably going to listen to it and think, yeah, that's cool. But if I did it, you want to try it yourself and then make the mistake again and then really learn it.
Yep. Learning through doing, right?
Yes. Okay, so then we have this other one, Vancouver User Experience Awards Demo Day. Mm-hmm. And that's the Van UE or Van U? Van U? I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
I think Van U.
Probably Van User Experience.
So this one's at the Microsoft Canada Excellence Center, 725 Granville Street. It is $10 per person. So yeah, they're very excited to host the very first Vancouver User Experience Awards Demo Day. There'll be some networking to start, 6:30 to 7, and then the event will start promptly at 7. 8:45.
And it looks pretty cool. It says it'll feature up to 15 speakers who each get 3 to 5 minutes to talk. I like that. The lightning talk style presentation, keep it really fun. Some people might be more interesting to listen to than others. And I find that that's actually something that I'm very interested in. The startup project that I was talking about, maybe starting as an open community project, deals with, is I find that if I go to a presentation, you know, without a screen in front of me or some way for me to interact, it's really boring. Like, even if it's fun, it's really, like, it's hard to just, I have a hard time just sitting and watching television sometimes, even, like, because there's no interaction.
Interesting.
You know, I think that that's something that can be addressed and should be, but that's historically, things are changing a little bit now, but historically been one of my biggest complaints with quote unquote online learning is that often I don't feel that it's brought anything new to the table or anything that computers do well to the table that we couldn't have done with, you know, a video or something like that. Now, some things are changing. There has been some good innovation, but I still think it could be a lot better.
It definitely could. Mm-hmm. It's interesting what you mentioned about the lightning talks. I was earlier this week, I was at the Tech Van meetup, and it was a really cool series. 4 speakers each gave about a 5-minute presentation and then took questions. Mm-hmm. Really awesome tech event. So I definitely recommend going out to that one when it comes up again, which will be January, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So that looks like our Wednesday. And then we have Thursday coming up. We got a pretty busy day on Thursday.
Very busy day.
Starts out with Jared's meetup, I guess, the Vancouver Lean Coffee over at Nelson the Seagull, 315 Carroll, 8:30 to 10. Now you said you've made it out to this one before?
I have.
And it was awesome?
It was really awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, great group.
So what would I expect? What should I expect if I haven't been there before, which I haven't, and I'm considering going out, which I am? What should I bring? What should I expect? What would my takeaway be?
Well, let's see. Usually there are supplies. Feel free to bring a couple of extra Sharpies and some sticky notes, just because I think Jared foots the cost for all of that. Mm-hmm. great coffee and great conversation. And what they typically do is solve a particular problem. So it's an open forum discussion, apply some agile methodology, lean methodology to solving a particular thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So is that, that's something I often hear lean and agile used in the same sentences, not necessarily interchangeably, but possibly. Does one go without the other? Can I have fat agile?
I suppose you could, but that might be waterfall. Uh-oh. I just opened a whole can of worms.
Nice. Well, I've often heard agile talked to as incremental waterfall, and or talked about as, or described rather, as incremental waterfall, which I tend to view it as, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting point. And again, it comes back to the, if we stick with one technology, if we stick with one methodology, and we're completely rigid in our process, mm-hmm. you really miss a lot. So being able to be flexible and agile, mm-hmm. to use the other term, I think that really helps a lot. So as you progress in your career, what it comes down to is making sure that the teams have a good understanding of the scope, they have ways to communicate, they have a sense of how things are moving along. That's really all that's required. So whatever methodology you choose, I think you need to be able to look at the types of projects you run, the type of environment you're in, whether it's distributed, whether you're co-located, and pick and choose from there. And there's lots of really great ways to work.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, I was just kind of thinking about lean approaches. Would frugal or stingy be better synonyms?
Well, I
would
say...
And I guess it depends on the company and the way it's implemented. And frugal would probably be a much more fun company to work for.
I think so. Yeah. It's a matter of taking it down to the core principles, mm-hmm. I think. So not a lot of process. So definitely, yeah, definitely not stingy. Mm-hmm. Stingy, I think, is the opposite of what's trying to be achieved.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think that makes sense. And I think that maybe some misimplementations of lean are stingy.
Mm-hmm.
Stingy development.
Please don't let that be a thing.
Right. I think it already is.
Uh-oh.
But people just don't call it that. Okay. And then so we've got from 4:30 to 9:30 p.m. Oh, this looks like a pretty long one. So Internet Market Think Tank. Oh, I think I actually added this one.
You did.
I came across it and I was like, should we add this in? I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that I'd normally be interested in or want to go to. Internet marketing kind of sounds to me like used car sales in a way. Like it kind of does. But I read through this and I thought, you know what? It actually sounds pretty good. It does seem like it's starting with a good idea. I think I read somewhere that the organizer was kind of fed up with, this is the way to market, this is the way to do things with your site sort of pitches, and thought, let's actually do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this seems pretty cool. Internet Marketing Think Tank Special Super Meetup at the Soho.
Yeah, and it's co-sponsored by the Vancouver Business Network and Innovation Labs.
Nice. Yeah, so it might be something worth checking out. Thursday, November 3rd. I wouldn't worry too much about bringing a laptop to this. It is free. There are limited ticket availabilities. It has some keynote session and a networking party. So it does seem pretty cool. But wait a second, that's the general pass. Or you could get a unique VIP event experience with food, drinks, and priority seating at 25% off the regular rate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
It's $15. But wait a second. It's weird. So priority pass is $15. Then a networking pass is $152 with complimentary drinks at the networking party. Feature keynote not included. I don't get what that is. And then there's a VIP pass for $48.75. which says it's the best value. And that's the VIP private reception, complimentary food and drinks. Are they complimentary if you're paying?
I don't think so.
And then featured keynote, VIP seating. So interesting. And there is a promo code as well. But I don't know. If you go to this, let us know how it was.
Yeah. And let us know if you'd like to hear about more of these types of events in the future.
I wouldn't. But I thought this one was worth mentioning.
Cool. Up next is the DDD CQRS ES Practitioners Group. So we had a really good kickoff this past week. We event stormed. So the next couple of weeks we'll be focusing on the code.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool project. It was a plumbing project. So nice. We've got all sorts of scheduling and we've got dispatch and ways to write reports and take inventory and things like that. So if you're interested in that, come out.
That is super interesting. So I've actually got a friend who I grew up with in North Van, and he's a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he took over his father's plumbing business and bought his father's house from him. So talk about filling your parents' shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I should bring him out to one of these and see if we could develop something for his plumbing business and kind of bring that, see how far the DDD actually stretches.
Yeah, why not? That would be really great. And as mentioned with this, so we're kicking off, last week was kicking off the series of 3 weeks. So we've got another 2 weeks of coding, and then we'll be bringing another event, storming session.
So last week kicked it off. Is this still going forward with the plumbing thing?
It is. So the next couple of weeks we'll be coding that. Mm-hmm. So definitely bring a laptop to this one. We'll be focused on pair programming. You can check out the meetup page to get access to the GitHub account, and you can see the code there.
Very interesting. So how does the tech stack get chosen, I guess? You start out with a zero tech approach?
Yeah, it's tech agnostic. So we look at the solution and then determine what we'll be programming in.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah. Up next is the Polyglot Vancouver Hack Study Mentor Night. This is at Mozilla's office, 163 West Hastings. So this looks pretty interesting. This is something that I'd be interested in going out to. If I wasn't already going to the meetup I always go to on Thursday. So this...
Which meetup's that? The CQRS one?
Yeah.
Because it looks like... Oh, I guess that does go till 7. Yeah. But you could... I'm not sure how Polyglot feels about it, but maybe you could go to that after.
Maybe.
Looks like there's still a couple hours left to it. I'm not too sure, but I definitely bring a laptop to that.
Yeah.
I haven't been to it. I've heard it's really cool. And I like the idea. Hack Study Mentor Night. So whether you're someone who's willing to mentor other people, or whether you're learning, or you're just hacking on something, there's a place for you there. And it's in a really cool place, obviously, Mozilla's offices. So that's right on Cambie and Hastings, just above the Bean Around the World. Same building as SKIO, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, SKIO is a really great space. I'm glad you're able to get that for the Hacker Nest on Monday.
Me too. Well, they're awesome. They're one of my favorite spaces, I think, and one of my favorite companies in Vancouver. They're really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then we have Red Academy. They've got another meetup at 6 p.m. Again, this is over at 1490 West Broadway, up on the second floor. This is just above McDonald's or Blends on Granville and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an intro to UI design. So this is something, I've seen them have this a few times, and I keep thinking, you know, I should probably go out to this. I really think that, I don't really do anything on the front end, to be honest. And UI is kind of not something that I do. But I still think that, for one, it's kind of fun and kind of interesting. But I also think that the same principles somewhat apply to backend APIs, kind of.
Okay.
At least maybe some of the underlying theory or the idea of usability. And I think that maybe having an idea of how things are going to be used in the front end, and how actually HCI was one of my favorite courses in college, where, you know, I guess that pretty much is UI.
Definitely.
Or UX.
Yeah, that's the debate. Is UI UX, or are they interchangeable? I'm sure
no,
there's a
I
lot
guess
of...
not. I guess they're not. I think I would think that UI is the actual interface and the building of it, whereas the user experience is maybe the flow, or like almost the architecture of the flow.
Sure.
And like the feedback.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe. Cool. I think it's really good that you're interested in going out to this. Again, it comes down to, if you understand the whole problem space versus just pieces of it, you have a better understanding of what's required. I remember looking at products a few years ago, and you wonder how they were developed. Things don't make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe they're using some really awesome technology, but they're kind of unusable or clunky or really slow to load. So the more you understand the problem space, and the more you're able to work together as a team, I think that's good.
Yeah, I definitely think that makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
All right. And so I would bring a laptop to that for sure.
Yep.
It doesn't say so explicitly on the meetup page, but I mean, any sort of course or workshop that I go to, I would bring a laptop so I can take notes.
Yep.
I actually really like taking notes. I'm the kind of person, I think, who I learn a lot from. So I'll if I listen and I kind of type out as I'm listening, and then whatever references I have, I can put links or pictures or whatever in that as well. So then I have kind of a couple of ways of processing it. Mm-hmm. So I've listened to it, I've written it down, and I'm reading it back to myself. And then later I have those notes and I can look at them. And then I can really consume what has been presented, and kind of think about it for a while as well.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be a master of your subject if you're able to then teach it to somebody or explain it to somebody in a few sentences.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that it's quite interesting. Like as soon as you try to teach something to someone, you really quickly find the holes in your own knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is good. I think that's really one of the best things.
For sure.
And then we've got the Startup Founder 101 over at the Profile. Have you ever been to the Profile?
I haven't. No.
This is 200 375 Water Street. Oh, maybe I have. 375 Water Street.
This is right up near Steamworks, I think.
I think
or right
might
next
be
to.
Right. And I think this might be where we had some Google Developer Week or something like that.
Okay.
I think we did a presentation there.
Nice.
But anyway, this is Startup Funding 101, How to Raise Capital for Your Idea. So So do you have an idea?
I always have lots of ideas, Drew.
Or a product? Does it need funding? But yeah, it looks like there's a few speakers. There's three speakers. Here's the interesting part, I think. Who should attend? Anyone who's thinking about raising money for their idea or business, or anyone that wants an understanding of fundraising for early stage business or products. And I've often heard that the kind of funding scene in Vancouver sucks. It just like really sucks compared to a real city like San Francisco, like a real tech city like San Francisco. And I say that because I'm a little bit disappointed in us for not having more in general.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Is it true? So maybe going out to something like this would give me an idea on what that means. Does it suck here? Is it good here? Is it possible here? Surely we have companies that are starting out here and doing well. So
yep,
it can't
absolutely
be that bad, can it?
Hopefully not. I mean, there's a really vibrant startup scene here in Vancouver. And if you look at all of the big tech companies, a lot of them have presence here in Vancouver. So you've got Microsoft, Google.
Where's Google?
Oh, actually, good point.
I'm not sure. I think
Amazon. Amazon is what I was thinking. Yeah, you've got a number of really great startups. But yeah, the funding is a little sparse. Mm-hmm. So coming to something like this to find out how you can find funding locally would be really great. I can tell you that when Creative Destruction Labs comes, there'll be a whole level of funding that comes along with that.
Yep.
So that'll really help the scene along.
When's that happening? What's Creative Destruction Labs and what are you talking about?
So they're like a US caliber startup accelerator. So by that, I mean that they have a lot of capital backing them. Mm-hmm. So places like San Francisco, where you've got like a 500 startups type level, they'll be coming out here. So I think it'll really disrupt the scene quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that we can all work together and it'll bring the missing piece of funding to our startup scene.
Very cool. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
Yep.
You heard it here first. So then we've got this. What is the FPGA? Is this a Professional Golf Association? IO Ring to HF Massive Data Processing?
So this one.
Oh, right. So this is one of the ones that I guess you added that I feel shouldn't be here because this is a Burnaby meetup and we're talking about Vancouver.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, that's interesting. If you guys have feedback and would like to hear about more meetups around town, I mean, we are very Vancouver centric, but sometimes there's a special mention. So this would be kind of interesting to go to, I think. It's very tech focused. You've got networking, you've got presentations, demo and lab, and then an algorithm battle. So that sounds pretty cool. I think it's worth the trip out to Burnaby.
And it does sound pretty cool. I might disagree with you on the worth a trip, but it does seem very cool.
Awesome. Next, we've got Learn Data Science by Doing Kaggle Competitions, Dogs versus Cats Redux.
Very worth staying in Vancouver for. This is over at the SFU Harbor Center, room 7515 West Hastings Street from 7 to 9. So this seems pretty interesting. Dogs versus cats, huh? When I was a really small child and first learning about the world, I thought that dogs were males and cats were females of the same species.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think it was because all of the dogs and cats I'd met up till then were males and females until somebody, I can't remember if it was a dog that they called a she or a cat that they called a he. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? How's that possible? It just blew my mind.
It's so funny, the biases that we collect as kids and how that informs our world and the assumptions that we make.
Well, I think it came from a misperception of things that I'd seen on television. Anyway, I was pretty young at the time. So anyway, this is happening from 7 to 9. I would definitely bring a laptop to that. And there's some really cool links about the Kaggle competitions if you're not familiar with those. But if you are interested or if you are familiar or even if you're not and you're just interested in data science, this would be the meetup for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's it for our Thursday. Friday, we have at 10 a.m. There's an interesting, looks like a full day workshop over at Red Academy. Again, this is over at Granville and Broadway. Yeah, just above Blends or McDonald's. And so this says Growth Marketing Masterclass. Are you interested in growth marketing?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, marketing is an essential part of figuring out your business mm-hmm. and making sure that people understand what offerings you have. So, yeah.
Very cool. So that's our Friday. Saturday the 5th, there's a few interesting things happening as well. So we got Disrupting HR, the Future of Work, Vancouver has a meetup. And so the location for this one, it's only shown to members. I haven't joined, but it says they're having an HR hackathon. Now, it does look like there's a $20 fee for it, and it looks like the RSVPs are already closed. and there are only 19 going. So not sure if you can get in on that or not, but if you are interested in attending this hackathon, I'd recommend reaching out to the organizer, Rocky, and see if you can get in on that. I think Rocky is probably the Rocky from Rise, formerly known as PaySavvy. Yeah, that might be really cool. So I think HR is a very interesting field, and any sort of hackathon around anything can be fun. And an HR hackathon sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it does say that given the format, we can only accept 25 members to participate. So it might be pretty fun and intimate.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Up next is the Vancouver Pixel Crafters Comedy Hack Day YVR. This is at Launch Academy.
Mm-hmm. So what is a comedy hack day?
Well, it says it's not just a hackathon. Basically, the audience assembles and the best teams take to the stage a demo before judges. Looks like there's a little bit of drinking involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and every CHD begins with a comedy hack day, begins with ideas. Participants pitch a whole bunch of stuff like this. Teams form around the best ones, and everybody gets set to work on building their apps. So
very interesting. So actually, I think somebody was telling me about this and said, you know, people come up with like silly kind of ideas and then just make them into reality. So it sounds like that would be a lot of fun. I wouldn't be too surprised if some really crazy comedy idea ended up becoming successful either.
Yeah, you never know.
Well, I can imagine that something like Twitter probably started as a comedy. You know, like you never know what's going to become that next big thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's often the edge cases that you're not really expecting. And all of a sudden, you've got tons of followers and you don't really understand where they came from. But that's great. Mm-hmm. And who knows?
Yeah, timing and environment.
Absolutely. Next up is She Talks Tech. So this is the last event happening on Saturday. It's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and it's at the TELUS Innovation Center. Looks like a pretty cool event. This is something that I would definitely be interested in going to.
Very cool. All right. And so that's happening November 5th from 10 a.m. It looks like until 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that would necessarily be a laptop event, but something to go out to, and looks like some great talks.
Yeah, definitely talks and networking and really bringing women in technology together. And not just women in technology, but technology in general. Really a lot of community building. There's a number of speakers here. It looks like there's 15 speakers. So if you go over, if you click on the link and go over to the page, you can find out more about the speakers. Sorry, there's 16. Each will give 8-minute stories, and it's one amazing day.
Very cool. All right. And it looks like that is our meetups around town.
All right.
And we're here with our special guest, Mark Schramm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? And thank you very much for joining us on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I guess the first thing to say is I've been doing this a really long time.
Nice.
We won't say exactly how long, but I've gone through the whole thing of going through university,
mm-hmm.
getting a job, doing coding, doing product support. You know, is it plugged in? Is it turned on? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in the last few years, we've been focused on providing services to customers. I have my own consulting business, and I was awarded Microsoft MVP for Windows development.
Mm-hmm.
Around the same time, BC.net user group came to me and said, we'd really like to have a Windows Phone user group.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was a Windows Phone kind of expert, because originally that was my MVP,
okay.
I said, sure, let's do that in Vancouver. There's nothing like it in Vancouver. There was no mobile user groups or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So along the user group thing, we started up and it's been pretty successful. But for myself, I do code. I can do, you know, design a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfect. I know when it's good or bad.
Right.
Business analysis. I do a little bit of everything. When you've been around and done as much as I have done, you sort of get good at everything.
Very cool. Very cool. So you're currently running the Windows Platform Developers Group?
Correct. That morphed from the Windows Phone Developer Group. Yep. Fortunately, the acronym was the same.
Nice. Very cool. Microsoft, I guess, has kind of gone a very interesting direction, I think, with Windows that was probably ahead of the curve, I think, and having more of a unified platform across devices than something like where Apple has had quite separate, a big separation of platforms, kind of. So what do you think? It seems to me that now some of the devices coming out in the Windows universe, like the HoloLens, for example, which I guess runs a Windows 7.
Windows 10. Windows 10. Yes.
I'm a little behind the times here.
just remember, everything runs Windows 10 now. It's,
right.
Everything from little, you know, Raspberry Pis to...
Yeah, even the Surface Hub, I think, which is...
The Surface Hub is Windows 10, and the new Surface Studio.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice little device.
Very cool, yeah. Yeah, I actually saw somebody posted the intro kind of video to that in the YVR dev, or there's a shared Slack channel. And I saw that and I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Especially when they put that little dial on the screen and turn it.
So there were a lot of things about that really hit me as being amazing. The ad itself, rather. But yeah, when they put the dial down, the music that they had, it was really well done. I think that they showed the design of the hardware as well. And it kind of really reminded me of Alan Kay. I think he said something like, for people who are really serious about software should be in the hardware business as well, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing about Microsoft is a lot of their hardware started off as, let's show our OEMs what people want, or what we think people want,
right,
and what's capable with the software. Mm-hmm. But it turned out that when the Surface came out, of course, Surface 1 was okay, wasn't fabulous, but they got better. And by the time Surface 3 Pro hit, it was the best device on the market. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing now a lot of other companies coming out with some great products. HP's done some fabulous stuff with their Windows devices, like the Spectre, if you've seen that, and the Yoga.
Uh-huh.
Is a fabulous device. Got one for my son for university.
Nice.
And so I think that the software company producing the hardware has pushed other companies to up their game, mm-hmm. and make better devices. So now it's not just the Surface Pro. There's a lot of other companies producing great Windows devices that it's hard to choose.
Right. Yeah. Well, I thought the Surface Book as well, just a really nice piece of hardware. And that's something that I really like.
One of the things that Microsoft's done recently, and I like devices from all different companies. Like I said, I'll buy a Yoga or whatever. But when they present their new devices, like the Surface Book, you look at it and go, oh, that's really cool. And then they separate the screen from the device. And it's like, oh, I want one of those really right now. Then you ask how much, and it's like, oh, maybe next year. let me go check my piggy bank.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the Studio.
Right.
You know, that's really cool. It tilts back, and then they pull that dial out and put it on top and start spinning the screen. It's like, oh. Right. So you have to show restraint and think, okay, do I need this right now?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the things with bringing in, I guess, effectively a new peripheral is, you know, you've got the hardware support now. Is the software there? And it looked like from what I've seen, it looked like for Photoshop or for some of the Adobe Creative Suite, it looks like it is there. What else might I use that for? And I think then the brain starts kind of imagining a lot of different use cases, and it might be really fun. So I'd like to see what the SDK looks like for that.
I will be actually in Redmond in 2 weeks for mm-hmm. the MVP Summit, where they gather all the MVPs from around the world, mm-hmm. and they show off what's next.
Right.
And I think with your question with the software is, it's sort of there, mm-hmm. because it's really tuned for the next version of Windows, what they call the designer update or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the exact name of it, but that's not due till the spring.
Right.
But if you're on the Insider program, you can get it, and then you can start playing with this stuff. So it's always a fuzzy line as to whether it's available or not.
Right.
It kind of is if you want to run the newest beta software.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I'm going to be picking up one of those dials. Like the second it hits the streets, I'm going to go down to the States and pick one up, because they're not available in Canada right now.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking, like, one of the first thoughts that came to mind for me for some reason was immersive gaming and having like a fine level of control over whether you're using your other hand for touching the screen or not, but having that sort of dial control over your fireballs as a mage. I don't know.
Hit the button.
Yeah.
Photon torpedoes away.
Yeah. So it might be really, it'd be really interesting to see what sort of applications come out of something like that. I've always been thinking, you know, so now we've got maybe augmented reality and virtual reality, and we've got these cool devices coming out. And are they going to get sort of leapfrogged by some sort of brain input output? And I think that historically we've seen the transitionary phases have been quite interesting. So what I mean by that would be, I think the traditional mobile phones are now replaced by smartphones, but the transitionary phase was maybe the BlackBerrys with the tactile keyboard.
And Windows Mobile.
And Windows Mobile.
The old, you know, push the start button on a little itty bitty screen.
Yeah.
But the real big leaps, I think, tend to be much more startling. Like you see that little transition thing.
Right.
And it may have continued along that line. Then the iPhone came,
mm-hmm.
changed everything,
right.
Like right away.
Yeah.
Two-in-one devices weren't really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Surface Pro comes out. All of a sudden, everybody's got to have one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is producing them. You know, nobody will ever want a pen with a tablet, right? Well, Surface Pro comes out, it's got a pen.
Yeah.
Now the iPad Pro's got a pencil. It's the same thing, right? Different name, but there's always that leap forward. And you're saying with gaming, Windows devices today are starting to take Xbox controllers as their input.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't even thought of the dial as a game input, but that's a brilliant idea. And when I get one and get my hands on the SDK, we'll have to play with that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be, it looks like something that would be really fun to program.
Even just Tetris, you know, you could use the spinner for the Tetris and hit the button and it drops the brick.
There you go. Yeah. I think it would be really interesting to see what the feel is like. And it's so hard to predict as well what that next peripheral is going to be. Well, I had no idea that was going to come out. You know?
That's the thing, right? Yeah. That's the magic. If you can come up with that thing, there's leaders and followers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the beginning, Apple was a leader in a lot of things, still are. Microsoft is starting to take a leadership in a lot of new devices and new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other third-party companies out there doing it as well. And like HP has a really nifty phone,
mm-hmm.
but they're also selling a laptop shell that has no brains. It's just a screen, a keyboard, and a trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
You plug your phone into it. It's now a laptop.
Yeah.
You don't even need a laptop, right?
That makes a lot of sense. And I think the assumption that somebody is going to have their mobile phone on them, it just makes sense. Because nowadays, who doesn't?
Like if you don't have yours, do you start shaking?
Yes.
Yeah. You start panicking?
Right? I think I can measure it in minutes, maybe seconds, how long I can go without a screen in my face.
I'm actually pretty good about not having a screen in my face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find myself checking my pocket. Did I remember my phone?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if I forget that somewhere, oh, my goodness, that's just like panic, right? Where did I leave it?
I actually washed my phone not too long ago, a couple months ago.
Washed?
Washed. It was in my back pocket. I thought, wow, these shorts feel a little heavier than usual. I won't bother checking. Couldn't be anything at all. And I just put them in the wash and washed my phone. So it didn't make it out alive.
You need to get one of those new waterproof phones like the Sony or the iPhone or something like that. So then you can wash it. It's okay.
Is it? I don't know. Like even if you're waterproof, well, you don't have to go through the laundry.
They're resistant more than anything.
Well, no, actually they have something called IP67, which is dust and water imperviousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPhone has it. I think the Galaxies have it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the Note 7.
I think because the 7 or newer maybe. Mine's the 6.
So. Okay, but not a Note 7.
Oh, right.
You need the water to put the fire out, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Sony Xperia has it. The HP Elite has it. And what it does is it basically says that the thing could be you could drop it in the toilet and it's fine.
Yep.
Up to a meter of water, it's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, the problem is in laundry, if it's being washed, it's not only just being dipped in water, it's being bashed around. So, yeah.
And so things as well.
But you got a better chance.
I had, I pay the $7 a month insurance on my phone. So I got a replacement. It's like 2 days. It wasn't too bad.
Sweet.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It's not too bad. Yeah. All right. So why don't we come back to the meetup? Tell us a little bit about who should go, who should attend, when do you have it, and where does it usually happen?
Well, that's changed a little bit this year. We'll start with what do we do? The Windows Platform Development Group tends to focus on Microsoft technologies,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily Microsoft to Microsoft technologies. For example, the last two meetups or two of the last meetups we did were on Xamarin, which mm-hmm. the focus was on using Microsoft technologies because Xamarin is owned by Microsoft. Using Visual Studio, but producing Android and iOS apps.
Oh, very interesting.
Windows Phone wasn't even mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about, for Windows developers or people who are familiar with developing in that environment and what you can do with it. But we've got one coming up November 23rd, where we have a gentleman who's a HoloLens developer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing his HoloLens in, and he's going to show people how to do holographic development. Which is really cool. And it's almost sold out. I think we got like 10 seats left on that one. And it's very popular. And you don't even need a HoloLens to develop for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, we are having Richard Campbell come in. I'm sure you're familiar with who he is from .NET Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for him, I don't even care what he's going to talk about. Just
right.
show up and we're good. But he's going to be talking about DevOps. So,
cool.
And that's very interesting. So we'll do things like how to monetize your apps. We'll do meetups on that. We'll do meetups on plugins or additions for Visual Studio that might be helpful. We've got one coming up in a couple of weeks that'll be for that. We haven't published that one yet. So, you know, it's a whole mix of technologies that allow somebody who's familiar with working in Windows to better do what they need to do for their jobs.
So what if somebody who's not very familiar working with Windows shows up? maybe with a MacBook and an Android, would they be welcomed?
Absolutely. In fact, the Xamarin one, mm-hmm. half of the sessions were, if you got a Mac, pull it out. We'll use that right. because the technologies also work on the Mac. Mm-hmm. There is a focus towards the Windows technologies. And, you know, obviously, if somebody shows up with a Mac to a HoloLens presentation, they're mm-hmm. going to probably be a little bit disadvantaged.
Right.
But that's okay because you can install Windows on a Mac.
You can.
And as for our
VM technology has gotten a lot better, I think, over the last few years.
It has. And as for our location, we've switched. In the past, we've done it at the sales office on Georgia. So it was a Microsoft office, mm-hmm. and it was a small room, about 30 people. But now we get access to the 725 Granville,
nice.
Which is the Microsoft Canada Excellence Center.
Yeah.
And it's really nice.
It's an amazing place, isn't
it? You've had a chance to go through it, have you?
Yeah, we got invited to the opening thing.
I was there.
Awesome, yeah. Did you get a chance to shake the hand of our prime minister?
I did not. I was one of the things I do in my role as mm-hmm. a person who likes to make money
yep.
is I mentor the interns
oh,
in
cool.
the garage section oh. of Microsoft, which mm-hmm. uses the MCEC
right.
to do their work. So they were the ones, the students were all lined up behind the PM when he did his speech.
Yep.
And I fortunately was lined up behind them so you couldn't see me because I kind of got a little shorter because nobody wants to see me. They want to see those students.
I don't know. I think a lot of people would like to see it.
No. The PM wants to be there with those young students. And he turned around and shook their hands and stuff. And they were all like awestruck, like he's a rock star and stuff that. So.
Oh, that was on the stage.
The steps mm-hmm. that were up and then all the students were lined up behind him when he did that. And so I was at the back. So we use that room. We either use the garage, which is sort of near the front entrance with a beautiful view of the North Shore Mountains, or mm-hmm. what they call the multipurpose rooms, which are for the Xamarin, for example. We did a full day meetup mm-hmm. from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we had 85 people in there comfortably, and it'll seat 100 with laptops and tables and power for everybody. Or I think it's 300 people lined up like just, you know, a theater type stuff.
Very cool. So as far as I know, the garage is the place with all of the cool gadgets and 3D printers and sort of stuff like that.
They have that stuff there. The garage is sort of a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. There's the room called the garage, which has garage doors, and they have the 3D printers, and there's actually like a garage workbench in there with tools hung on the wall and, mm-hmm. and you know, jigsaws and all kinds of stuff that you'd find in a garage. There's the garage where the students work, and mm-hmm. they bring in 24 university students from across Canada, from McGill and McMaster and UBC and UVic and all that. And they work in teams of five or six, and they do their own separate projects. And they produce some really cool apps, which, you know, if you go to the garage website, you'll see some of the stuff that they produce, and it's pretty amazing.
Nice. Yeah, we actually had Stacy on the show, I guess a few months ago now. Wow, it's gone. Time's gone by so quick. But yeah, we'd like to have her back as well and talking about the garage. And we got some pretty cool stuff. I think some cool swag that she'd made.
Oh.
Got a coaster, the Eat, Drink, and Bill Murray coaster.
I've seen that. I don't have one. I don't get that. I get a hat sometimes.
Oh, well, that's
cool.
I get
a nice hat.
Awesome.
But I have a shirt. Because Microsoft, you always get a t-shirt, right?
Nice. Okay, so what kind of stuff are you working on now?
In regards to the user group or
maybe
just
with
life?
The user group, with just life, with mentoring?
Well, the mentoring thing sort of gets on hold from September to December because they're mm-hmm. going through the process of interviewing and selecting the interns for the next
eight months.
Mm-hmm. So I get to go back to real life and work my own consulting company. Mm-hmm. Our consulting company is just two people. Yep. It's a small company. We bring in satellite people as necessary to sort of supplement the team. And we're working on stuff from websites for spa chain in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And in fact,
for which? Sorry?
A spa chain. If you've ever heard of Elizabeth Arden Red Door Spas, it's like a really high-end spa in the middle of Manhattan. And they've got, I don't know, 30 stores. Mm-hmm. And my partner's actually busy working on something right now for them while I'm sitting here having a good time. He's back at the office working. And I'm also working, which is really neat, with Microsoft on a project that will be for inclusive athletes. Mm-hmm. So it's with a local organization, a nonprofit organization. I'm not allowed to say what the name of it is just now, but they're producing a resource website for athletes with disabilities mm-hmm. to allow them to find coaching or clubs that they can join or where they can swim. From the high-performance athletes that go to the Paralympics to Special Olympics to just recreational athletes with challenges. And it's really a cool thing. If you've ever had Tommy Lewis in here, if you haven't, trying to track him down.
Yeah, okay.
He's very passionate about inclusive, as is the entire Microsoft team, and they brought me in to help with that. And it's neat because it isn't a lot of money, but it's very fulfilling when you get it done, and it's like you've helped people, you've made a real difference, and that's an awesome thing. So that's really my focus right now.
Okay, that sounds very cool. Yeah. Who should be reaching out to you to get your consulting services, or what sort of companies would, I guess, contract
with you? Well, anybody who's trying to do work with Windows platforms. So if you're trying to write apps or database, my history actually goes back to a lot of very strong database foundation, design, optimization, all of that stuff. But anything around Windows, Azure, database, they need help with creating apps for their company, enterprise level stuff. I've done a lot of enterprise work, so is my partner. Mm-hmm. So we focus on that kind of thing as well. So really anything, I'm not going to write an app for Mac or iOS. It's just, I can do it, but is it going to be great? And probably not. It'll be okay.
Right.
And it's really about Windows for me. That's the place I live and tend to do well. And the web, of course.
It makes sense to have a strong focus like that.
Absolutely. So can you tell us about an exciting client project you have on the go?
Well, the inclusive one. So it's the idea is to create that resource for athletes. The website, the spa chain is really interesting. It's actually kind of odd sometimes. We work in a shared office environment where, you know, there's a shared receptionist, and everybody has their offices. Mm-hmm. Well, when we're working on the Red Door Spa site, if somebody walks by our office, they see all these pictures of women in you know, gorgeous women. And everybody looks and, what are they doing in there? No, it's work, really. Honestly, it's a spa. They have pictures of people with lipstick and stuff. It's just what they do.
You mentioned something about being involved in mentoring. Is there a mentor that you can recall back to that's really shaped your career?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've worked with a lot of people in the past that I have a lot of respect for. In fact, a company I worked for, I'm going to say in the 90s, there was a gentleman, Robert Hooban, that I had huge respect for. Got into a lot of fights with, but I worked for him. And then eventually I worked with him, and I worked as a partner with him at one point, but he was a really great. The thing that stuck with me is it didn't matter what the problem was, we'll solve it for you. And it wasn't just that, it was also, we'll deliver to you more than you expect. And that was always the thing. And sometimes, you know, it cost us because we had to do, you know, a little extra overtime, or we did this. But it was always about the customer first, give them what they wanted, and then give them more than they expected. And it doesn't matter, you know, if we made the commitment, if we made a promise, our word was important.
Mm-hmm. And so do you hold true to those principles today?
We do. In fact, it's one of the best things about having our own consulting business is that we can, first of all, take on customers that we want to work with. Mm-hmm. As an employee, sometimes you work on projects that you don't feel good about. You work with customers you didn't really wish you wish you didn't. But now we can take on the customers we like, that we can work with, that have some of the same standards or morals that we have. Mm-hmm. And then we can make them happy. And that's really almost more fulfilling than getting paid for it is walking away and saying, you made a difference. These guys are happy and they will remember you. Because really money comes and goes. You can always get more money, but you can't get that other part, which is the respect and the satisfaction of delivering something and making a difference. Another gentleman that I find really great is he's an app developer back in Ontario, and he's got something like 800 or 900 apps in the store. He makes a living off of it. That's all he does. The Windows store, not iOS or Android. But his mantra was always, you can always get more money, but the only thing you have of value in your life is time. It's the only thing that has limited quantity, and it will run out. So spend your time well, you know, enjoy your life, use your time as best you can. Don't worry about the money. The money will come. It's not important.
Sounds like words to live by. Well, Mark, thank you very much for being on the show. I'd like to ask, if our listeners want to reach out to you, what would be a good way to get a hold of you, and what meetups, other than obviously the Windows Platform Developer Group, would people maybe see you at?
Well, I go to bc.net meetups quite often. They're out of BCIT in Burnaby quite often, or BCIT downtown. The Vancouver Azure meetup group, I was just there. They were doing bot framework and cognitive services and stuff, which was really neat. If you want to reach me, you can find us on Meetup, the Windows Platform Developer Group. I'm the owner of the group, so if you just, you know, contact the owner, you'll reach me that way.
And we'll have a link to that.
And on Twitter at Mark P. Schramm. So
Mark P. Schramm.
With awesome. An S-C-H.
S-C-H. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Sameroom for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups around town.